In our series of Lord, Teach Us to Love, we want to look at a few thoughts this morning. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres. Jesus prayed for the protection of his disciples, his followers. He was teaching us that love always protects, and this is what Jesus prayed. Holy Father, Jesus always addressed God as his Father, and he wants us to do the same. Holy Father, protect them, the disciples, by the power of your name. Did you know that? The power of God's name is what protects us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from evil or from the evil one. That was Jesus' heart prayer. Father, I want you to protect your children. God's love will always protect us from the evil schemes of the devil. The devil will use everything in his arsenal, everything in his files to try to deceive us, to try to trick us. But it's the power of God's love that keeps us going, keeps us protected, that corrects us as well too. And I think our world can be and would be a much safer place if everyone would seek after God and his love. I read a story, and I remember when this happened, and maybe some of you remember this too, on October 2nd of 2006. It was a young man named Charles Roberts that broke into an Amish school in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and started shooting. He ended up killing 5 girls before killing himself. But there were 2 sisters in that group, in that school. They requested and asked the killer to kill them first before the others. They wanted to be a shield for the others. They basically told the shooter, please kill us first, but let the others live. Now that is true love. Love always protects. And Jesus says that a true friend is the one that lays down his life for his friends. So one of them was wounded and the other sister was killed as a result of their devotion to love their fellow students. Love always protects, always seeks to protect. No, give it to me, but leave these alone. This is what Jesus did too. Remember that when he says, take it out on me. I'll take it. But leave these alone. Leave my disciples alone. I want to protect them. That's true love. And that's the love that God desires in us fathers. A protective love that's like a shield around our families that helps protect the wife and mother and the children, and the home. Now it says that charity or love always trusts. What does it mean to trust? You know, societies cannot exist without trust. It starts, and it's everywhere. I mean, you bring your money to the bank and you have it in the account and you trust that the bank will hold your money and would have your money when you need it. You trust the bank. There was this lady a long time ago in Germany. She had quite a large amount of money in her account. And one day she came and she withdrew everything. She said, I want you to give me everything I have. So they counted the cash, hundreds and hundreds. That time it was marks. She took the money, went to the side and counted the money. And yes, it was all right. And then she brought it back. So now I want to deposit it again because I just wanted to know if it was still in my account. She didn't quite trust. She had a problem with trust in the financial institutions. We trust them. We trust the retirement, the RSP accounts. We trust, we hope that there will be something in there when we retire that we can then withdraw it. And the government is really happy too to then take one third of that. Trust has to be everywhere. Have you ever noticed how much trust we place in pilots when we fly? Here's it. We don't even know the pilots. We have no idea who they are. And sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. Can you trust them? What if? What if one of them is drunk? What if one of them is a fake? You know, it hasn't really, you know, isn't properly licensed. We trust the airline. We trust the pilots. And then it comes to trusting the government. Well, that can be challenging, right? You pay taxes and you trust the government that they will use the money for good things. For most of the time it is, but sometimes it's not so good. Credit is based on trust. When you apply for credit, the bank wants to know if they can trust you, if you will pay back the money. Used to be with a handshake. Not anymore. You have to sign everywhere. You basically have to sign your life away when you sign a mortgage. Employment, if you work for somebody. Say somebody says, okay, I'll give you $20 an hour, and you start working, and then in 2 weeks there's no check, and 3 weeks there's no check, and in a month there's still no check, and finally you're like, okay, can I trust my employer? I spoke to someone once that said, I'm not getting paid. My boss doesn't pay me. And so the trust, I said, why are you going to work then? You stay home and you say, you pay me first, and then I'll come back to work. But that trust has to be there that when we go to work, that there will be a reward for the labor. Love builds and keeps trust in relationships. This is so important. We build up trust in our marriages. We build up trust in our families. And when that is broken, when trust is broken, you know when trust is broken? What happens? Because that's when love has failed. Not really failed, but that's when love is no longer there. When love is taken out of the equation, trust crumbles. It is very difficult to rebuild trust. Trust can be broken so easily. It's kind of fragile. It's like a very precious vase or vase, whatever you call it. And you have to be careful how to handle it. But isn't it good when our spouses can trust us and we can trust our spouses? Isn't it good when we can trust our children? And you know, oftentimes the teenagers, you know, they're full of hormones and full of energy and excitement. And sometimes they'll say to their mothers or fathers, say, don't you trust me? And one father said, I wouldn't trust myself if I was in your age. trust is so important. Love is a call to trustworthiness. Can God, can people trust us? God didn't send angels to be witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't send angels to preach the word of God. He sent men mostly and women to teach the word of God, to proclaim his will. And he put a lot of trust in his servants, didn't he? This is one of the concerns, or should I say fears, that I have sometimes. Can God rely on me, that I'm faithfully teaching God's word? Trust, love is a call to trustworthiness. Genuine trust is to have faith or confidence in someone without doubt or fear. It is to trust your life to that person. And this is where marriage is such a close relationship, where trust has to be built up in such a close way that it represents how Jesus and his church are a head and a body, how Jesus trusts his church and how his church trusts Jesus. That's the relationship that Paul relates to marriage. The tragedy of human life is that when we tend to trust when the going is good and abandon our relationships when the going gets tough. Some people say they are married until death does us part. No, that's not what the promise is. Or others say, until as long as our love shall last. Well, and for some, it's very short-lived. True love builds up trust that ends up to be a trust for life. That is the way I understand this verse. Love always trusts. For it is the only ingredient that keeps the relationship alive. If love dies in a relationship, the trust and everything else is gone. But it can be rehabilitated. Trust can be built up when love starts to have its function. Where love has died, it can be reawakened, because God can do anything. Love never fails. This is why, we will see it later, love never fails, because love can help us build up trust again that was lost. Love builds trust in God. Have you ever seen God? I haven't. Have you ever felt him? I haven't. It felt him spiritually, it felt his presence, but not physically. Our trust in others is dependent on how we trust the Lord our God. Jesus taught, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Believe or trust in God, and trust also in me. Have trust in me. Jesus asked us as his disciples to put our trust in God and in him. And some of us have a hard time with it. You say, "Lord, how can I trust you? How can I trust you that you will be true to your word? How can I trust you that you will actually seek the best for me in the future?" And I think this is perhaps where we lose sight, where we become disillusioned, is when we stop trusting God. But it all goes back to, do we love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls? That first commandment, remember? It's the greatest commandment of all. And when we love God with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and with all our might, then we can build trust. Have you ever felt disappointed by God? If you haven't, I think then you haven't really lived. I think we all have had our moments where we felt disappointed or disillusioned about God. I know Abraham did. I know Isaac and Jacob did. I know a lot of people in the Bible, they had their ups and downs. They had their valleys, their hours of darkness where they felt, I don't know, is this for real, God? But in the end, love and trust won. And that is what counts. That our love of God, our trust in Him and His Word are steady. Because we read that if God makes a promise, He will keep it. So love comes in a package, and the glue that binds all the ingredients together is trust. Do you trust the Lord today? You say, well, I can't trust certain people. It doesn't matter. It's okay. People can break our trust. But let's be trustworthy that the Lord can trust us. That we trust God. Jesus didn't trust himself to people because he knew what was in the hearts of people. He knew how deceptive a human heart can be. So he didn't trust himself to the people, but he always trusted the Father. And people could always trust him. The next one is love always hopes. Love, hope, and trust, they're actually inseparable. And so hope produces blessings that we desire. And hope always has to do with the fruit of the Spirit, which is called patience. And we already talked about how love is patient. Hope wants to produce in us the true meaning of our lives and how God intends to bless us in various ways that we see how love to God produces trust and hope that brings us to blessings. So loving God means trusting Him and expecting Him to bless our lives. That means we live in expectation of the Lord. We always live, Lord, I know you have more for me. I desire all that you have for me. Because love always hopes. We don't give up hope. And I think that love produces in us the expectation and desire for what is best, for what is God's will. And that is hope. Without the ingredient of love and hope, our lives would become overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. This is why the Apostle John says there is no fear in love. Because fear destroys trust in God. Fear destroys our hope. Fear makes us feel hopeless. So there is nothing for us to come. Fear will dictate whether we believe or not, or fear will sometimes drive people to alternative ways that are very, very destructive. People that live in fear and anxiety will often go to things like drugs and alcohol and money and even guns and things like that to try to be secure. Try to keep what they have. But it isn't love. If you're motivated by anything other than love, you can definitely count on it that you will lose hope. Because hope brings us a future full of promises. We may not be there yet, it may look like we're losing the battle. It may look like that we're weak, that we're insignificant. It may look like that our faith is like a small mustard seed that nobody sees, that nobody notices. It may look like that you and I are unsuccessful, even as believers, that we're nothing but weak human beings. It may look like to the world that we are people that don't know what we're doing. It doesn't matter. What matters is that our love for God grows and that our trust to God increases. And because of the love and trust, our hope grows stronger and stronger. And we are motivated by hope in Jesus Christ. What does that hope look like? The Bible says here that love always hopes. What do we hope for? You see, love has always hope that gives confidence for the future. It offers self-protection and creates in us the desire to seek what is good for ourselves and for others in God's eyes. Jesus knew how important hope is. You know the story of the disciples that were on their way to Emmaus? I love that story. It always blesses me when I read it, when I think about it. Here were the disciples. They hung their heads. They felt totally defeated. Maybe you and I are often on the road to Emmaus. We hear all this good stuff. Jesus is risen. He is no longer in the grave. He is alive. And there were people that had said that to these disciples, but they had a hard time believing it because they didn't see anything, they didn't feel anything. And here they go, and they're singing songs of the blues. They're feeling very blue. They're walking, and Jesus all of a sudden joins them and hears their lament, their songs of the blues. And so Jesus said, What are you talking about? Why are you so sad? Why are you so blue? And they just turn to him and say, Are you the only one that's so ignorant, didn't know what was going on in Jerusalem? Where are you from? You sound so strange. I mean, everybody knows what happened in Jerusalem the last few days, how they crucified Jesus. And then they say this. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, and here they pile on. In addition to our hopelessness, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And that's where it all ended. It was all talk and no action. It was all that it wasn't real. They were trying to hold on to hope that wasn't real. And here we are. We don't know what to think. We don't know what to say about this. We are just marveled. We sing our blues. And we don't know who you are. See, they were so enveloped or wrapped up in their blues that they couldn't see Jesus that stood right in front of them. But Jesus wanted to give them hope. And so he wanted to continue his way, and they said, no, we need to turn in here. So they said, stay with us because it's getting dark, and we like your company. Did you know that? How the disciples felt? We like your company. We feel somehow better when you're with us, even though we don't know who you are. And as Jesus stayed with them, and as he thanked for the bread, and he broke the bread, what does it say? Their eyes were opened. And they saw with their own eyes. Their hopes were not lost. It was not in vain. And then they called out, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" That conversation was burned in their hearts, and they never lost hope ever again. And I pray that you and I come to this point in our lives, that no matter what happens, we do not give up hope, because love always hopes. You and I need hope. Hope for the future. Look at the time we're living in. We're so close before the Lord's coming. We must not, we cannot give up hope, because love always hopes. And we pray with the word of God, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Because we can't wait for the day where we can see Jesus face to face, where we can be in that glory that is forever and ever in eternity. That's our hope. May God bless you. Amen.